You have your Bibles tonight. I'd like for you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And that's in the Old Testament. And some folks may not know exactly where that's at. But if you come across Proverbs, then you'll come across there Ecclesiastes, amen? Chapter 5. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. We'll begin reading here this evening. If you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet and, of course, bring honor to God's holy Word tonight, the Holy Scripture. My, I was glad to be here this morning. Well, I was enjoying the Lord this morning. Thank God for what He spoke to our hearts about. Verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, I hope everybody's there. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business. A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou vow shouldest than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause the flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and while we are very sobering, dear God, to read what has been written by the Word of God, and tonight to know what it means and to understand it clearly and then make an application to our lives, God, is our desire. We pray, God, you'd open our hearts, and may we see you more tonight than ever before. I pray, God, you'd save the lost. I pray you'd draw those that are down and out and those that are away from you. We pray tonight, God, for the sick and the elderly. God, tonight, that are not feeling well. God, that are just not doing well. We pray you'd touch their bodies and heal them. We pray tonight, Father, for your goodness and your kindness upon us. We ask, God, that your grace, dear God, is sufficient. And we pray tonight, God, that we would hear your voice and know you. In Christ's holy precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach again. It's a new year. Where do I start? It's a new year. Where do I start? Well, I believe right here in the Scripture, it talks about we need to be ready. We need to be ready. This morning we talked about being ready. We talked about where do I start. We started about being ready to die. But tonight I want to talk about being ready to hear. Be ready to hear. You know, a lot of our problems are tonight, in 2015, if we're really going to be clean before God and we're really going to make that progress and we're really going to be successful as a Christian, we've got to hear. I believe many times we're too busy talking. And many times we're really wanting to tell somebody something whenever we should be listening to somebody tell us something. Amen? I believe tonight if we can get this concept about being ready to hear, I believe we'll find greater days ahead of us. Amen. I know that in one way of counseling people, in one way of talking to people, is some people sometimes just want to talk and just spill out their guts, and they don't want you to say nothing. And sometimes in relationships, it's the same way. Sometimes in marriage relationships, and the husband's been talking all day long. He's been on his phone all day long. He's been ordering all day long. He's been ordered all day long. He comes home, and his wife has about 3 hours of communication she wants to talk about. And so as soon as he walks in the door, she says, I'm glad you're here, and here we go. And most of the time, men would say, please, do I have to talk about this now? Can we do it later? Later never gets there. And you say, well, listen, right now, you know, I don't feel like it. I really need to do this. I really need that. And as you're telling her that you're not really ready to hear what she has to say, your phone rings. And you answer your phone. But you're not willing to hear her, but you're willing to hear them. That's not going so well for you so far. You might not even came home that night. It'd been better if you'd have went by your friend's house first. Amen. The fact of the matter is, many times when kids, you come home and kids tell you, Mom or Daddy, hey, can I tell you something? I want to tell you something. You know, kids, because they're lengthy in what they're telling you, they're bringing up everything in the world that really don't mean much, really not part of the story, but they put it in the story. And, you know, they tell you a 3-second thing, and it takes 3 minutes to tell you that. And so while they're telling you that, you're saying, honey, baby, sweetheart, just get to the point. And that's where we fail. People at church come to church, they ain't seen you all week, they ain't seen you since Wednesday. They might have something to say to you, they might have something to tell you, and you just don't have time to hear. We live in a day, there's no hearing going on no more. It's all texting. It's all voicemail. It's all Facebook. It's all, let me tell you something. And today we find ourselves in big trouble. We find ourselves in broken relationships. We find ourselves on the brink of separation. We find ourselves with schisms and divisions in the churches. We find ourselves with heartaches. We find ourselves withdrawing from one another, isolating ourselves. That's not the way it ought to be. Because we just don't want to hear. Tonight, may we be ready in 2015 to hear. The Bible says that in chapter 5, there in verse 1, it says, and be more ready to hear. Does not it say that? So we have a scripture tonight that tells us that we are to be more ready to hear. More ready to hear. You say, I got something to say. The Bible says, be more ready to hear. You know what? Tonight, really what you have to say is not that important until after you hear what you got to hear. Amen? How many times have you come up and you're going to say something to somebody and you're going to really just get this thing straightened out? And they say, well, can I say something? And you say, okay, yeah, say it. And finally they say something that changes your whole attitude. It changes your whole plan's messed up now. Because you actually heard what they had to say. You ever been talking to somebody and you say something to somebody and then they, as you're talking, they talk? That's rude. That's awful. That's pathetic. When somebody's talking, I learned that when I was little. I learned that when I was a little boy. You know how I learned that? As whenever my daddy was talking to another man, I walk up to my dad. I've seen this all the time. Dad said, son, do you know that I'm sitting here talking to Brother Raymond? Yes, sir. All right then. When I get done, I'll talk to you. Daddy said, son, get over there and sit down. When you get up, I'm going to beat you behind. What did he say? You don't get no 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And when I got home, I got my behind blister because I wasn't really wanting to hear. That's what even happened to these children and every child. I'll tell you something else. In a marriage, friend, we have problems not talking. We got problems hearing. Because we're not willing to shut up long enough to hear the other person's fault. If you get interrupted every time you speak to somebody and they interrupt you, you might as well not even talk to them. What kind of conversation is going on? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you. But I would tell you. But they, I tell you! And next thing you know, man, they're yelling. And you're trying to have communication. We don't have communication no more. Hey, I promise you, we go in the average home today, and for supper, we're sitting in front of the TV with TV trays. There's no communication. What's wrong with us tonight? I tell you what's wrong with us. Nobody's listening. We got church after church. We got message after message. We preach on this. We preach on that. We preach on this. We preach on that. And by the end of the year, we forget everything we've all preached on. Why? Because we don't listen. God help us tonight. In 2015, where do I start? Here's where you start. Listen. Listen. Let's see what the Bible has now about that. And I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. Sometimes it may seem that I'm trying to do that, but I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to cause some sort of movement in the heart to let you see and know, Brother Larry, you're right. I seem like I'm always talking and somebody's always talking over me. Or I'm always talking over somebody else. And Lord, it's because I just won't hear. Help me tonight. I want you to notice the energy of hearing. Tonight, if you're going to hear, you're going to have energy to do that. Tonight, it's evident with all of our lives that all of us are guilty of these things I mentioned. It's evident that we need more than just somebody telling us to listen. We don't do it. Now, I promise you, we'll leave out of here tonight, and some of us will get home in just an hour, 2 hours from now. I was going to say it's a couple of minutes, but it ain't going to be that. But when we get home, and some conversation will take place, and somebody will say, would you please just hear me out? After listening to the message. I mean, it don't make no sense. Tomorrow at work. I mean, we'll come to this place. And so we're going to have energy to do this. There's going to have to be some sort of energy in your behalf that I'm going to put feet to this thing about hearing. Now the Bible says in verse 1, He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. What is He meaning here? Well, that word keep thy foot means to keep thy feet clean. That, by the way, that's our theme for 2015. Clean feet. So in order for us to come into the house of God tonight and keep our feet clean, we're going to have to do more hearing. That's in order for your feet to be clean. You'll not be clean with your family, with your friends, and with your God with dirty feet. Tonight, we got to understand and know that when we come into the house of God, when we enter into that property and down that little road, and we open our car, and we open these doors, and we go through the second door, and we walk into this auditorium, that we're going to have to know why we're coming here. What it's saying tonight. Keep thy foot. Know why you're going to the house of God. Don't come to the house of God haphazardly. Don't come to the house of God because somebody's just putting pressure on you to come. Don't come tonight because you got nothing else to do. Don't come to the house of God because you like me or you like others or this is some social gathering for you. Listen, know why you come. Keep thy foot. That's what it means tonight. So you and I have a responsibility not only to come to the house of God, but how are we to come in? We can't come in just any kind of way. We can't just throw ourselves in here and say, all right, I'm on a parade. You got your hands moving back and forth as you're coming in. Well, tonight, this is more than that. This is you and I have to come to the place and we got to know that how we're going to hear is when we come into the house of God, we're going to have to come in and watch our step. Oh my, you better watch your step. You better guard your heart. The Bible says very clearly, keep thy foot. Which is meaning is, you better watch your step when you come in here. This is grounds, friend, that's above your ground. There's things that take place in this house that, friend, it won't take place in no other house. This is a place, friend, where you come and there's not only physical things taking place here, financial things, but there's spiritual things going on. Oh, friend, there's people right now who's in the balance. And friend, right now, the devil's got a hold of them and won't let them go. The Spirit of God's drawing him and telling him, come on to God. Come on to God. And there's a great battle right here in this house. You better watch how you come in here. Friend, God will move you out of here. You're not getting away of the Lord and His work and His business. Boy, when you come out, when you get in here, you better come in here for the business of God. You better say, Brother Larry, say, God, I'm going to come in here and be a help to Brother Larry, not an opposition to him. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to learn and I'm going to hear. I want to hear what you got to say. I want to hear what God has to say. Because I've got to watch myself. The Bible talks about keeping that foot means you need to be reverence to God. Tonight I know that, and I believe this in all my heart, there's nothing wrong with some humor. But when humor takes over the service,
There's no reverence in that. Tonight, I'm not against humor. You know me well enough to know that I, from time to time, say things that are funny. And it's all on purpose because sometimes I preach so serious a lot of times that I need something to say that may get your mind not thinking of this all this serious stuff, but thinking about what's really being said so you can apply it to your life and heart. And the fact of the matter is that you've got to come to the place, and this place here, we got to wash our feet. We got to come in with clean feet because we have to reverence God here. Yeah. We got to respect others here. So when you come to the house of God in 2015, we got to be ready to hear because we got to reverence God and respect others. Not everybody in this room is like you. Thank God. Not everybody tonight has the same thoughts and the same limitations and the same procedures of life. And, you know, not everybody eats cream of wheat. Not everybody tonight likes fajitas, chicken fajitas from Papa C's. Not everybody likes that. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's messed up there. Not everybody likes blue suits and red suits. And not everybody likes glasses that have this little ring around the whole thing. Some of them like yours, Brother Raymond, don't have no ring anywhere. Some people take their hair and go from the left to the right. Some people go right to the left, and some people don't have none at all. Amen? I'm just saying tonight, we are going to have to come to this place where we're going to have to watch our feet. And we're going to have to reverence God here tonight. This is only sole purpose of why this church is sitting on 215 or 211 Brand Lane is to worship God. And that's what we expect everybody coming in here to do is worship God. But also in doing that, you respect others. Amen? You find tonight that you give others space. You give others opportunities. You give others to be friendly with. You give others the ability to be who they are. Now, we're not saying tonight it's okay to come in here and sin. It's not okay to come in here and cuss. It's not okay to come in here and commit adultery. It's not okay to come in here and look for a wife and look for a husband. We're not interested in that, and we'll find that out, and you'll be gone as quicker than you can look the other way. Because we're not going to put up with that kind of nonsense. We're here to respect each other. We're here to worship God. We've got to watch our foot. Amen? The Bible also talks about in this keep thy foot, what it means tonight. It's a serious word. It means to represent well. It means tonight that we are to represent each other well. As soon as you come into the house of God, you are to respect God. You are to reverence God. And you are to respect others. But you are to represent yourself well. In the house of God, it should be the most well-behaved place in all of your life. Tonight, there's several things that I believe that ought to be according to how you represent yourself well. And number one is you ought to dress appropriately. I've been in churches, a friend, that there's no worship in that church because women are wearing so high-cut dresses that every man that walks by don't have their eyes on the Lord. They got their eyes on the leg. I even heard that people taking up the offering have said, listen, I can't even take up the offering because when I sit there, the ladies sitting there, their dress is so high. You know, they got their legs crossed, but the dress is so high and they're constantly having to put it down like this. He said, man, it's so high. And then if they just move just a little bit, the dress is so low that it sees the bodies. Listen, friend, if there's any place where you need to dress appropriately, is in the house of God. Friend, if you could come down the altar and you could come down here as a woman and you can bow down here and go like this and you could do it without showing anything, then you got something on right. But if you can't come to the altar and you can't bend down, so what you have to do is you have to come over here in this corner because you know what you have on is not appropriate. Something's bad wrong with that. That's not reverencing God. That's not respecting each other. In other words, it is not representing yourself well. You're not keeping your foot when you come to the house of God. Friend, dress today is appropriately is when you come to the house of God, you look like you're coming to the house of God. You don't look like you're going to the beach. You don't look like you're going to a party. You don't look like you're going to an anniversary. You don't look like you're fixing to get on a boat somewhere and take a ride. You're not going out there on a, golf course someplace. You're not looking like you're going hunting. You come to the church. Amen? Friend, when people come visit our church and people go see it, you know what they want? They want to come to a church where people are reverencing God, they're respecting each other, and they're representing themselves well because they're keeping their foot when they come to the house of God. Friend, we might not be big, we might not be as much as all these others here, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you and I in 2015 can be more ready to hear, you're going to find that God can use us more than they can use Him. God uses the clean, by the way. Tonight we need to keep our feet clean. Well, I say second thing I want you to know is just participate accordingly. Tonight's how you represent yourself well. You participate. Tonight, boy, I tell you, that's one of the hurts of the church today is the participation is so weak. The participation of what's going on, it's like Nobody's in the game. No, nobody's on the court. Nobody's in the field. Everybody is in the stands. I mean, listen, friend, when the song leader says stand and sing and open your songbook, you stand and sing and open your songbook because you're on the field. You're in the battle. You're in the game. Now, you're not on the out. You're not in the audience. You're not in the stands. You're not on the outside. You're on the inside. We got to participate accordingly. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can pastor this church. Not everybody can be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody can clean the church. Not everybody can mow the grass. Not everybody can do all these things, but somebody can do some of the things. Just do whatever God asks you to do. Participate accordingly. Amen? Friend, you'll find that's how you reverence God. That's how you respect others. That's how you represent yourself well. Is that not only do you dress appropriately, but you participate accordingly, but then you behave accurately. There's a way to behave tonight in the house of God. Hey, we don't say things to each other to incite one another, provoke one another. No, sometimes amongst the men it gets a little close to that. We need to just kind of pay attention to what we're saying. So we need to find that within the realm of communication that we're not saying anything that's going to be hurtful or harmful or causing someone else to say something that would be sarcastic or be something that would bring a hurt on somebody. Our tongue is like a fire. Who can tame it? Well, tonight we find in this behavior, we're going to have to do it accurately. Amen. There's a way to behave. There's a way to behave with your wife. There's a way to behave in the house of God with your wife. I was at a church one time, and there were several people in that church, and the husband and wife, and the husband put his arm around the wife, and the wife, he'd take his hand and go through her hair like this. And I seen a girl go across on the other side and put her finger in the guy's ear. I'm saying, dear God, this is church. You're stay home if you're going to do that kind of stuff. Ain't no time for that kind of mess. Amen? So, as a husband and wife, you treat her with respect and treat her with treasure. And you respect him and you don't correct him. I see a lot of women correcting their husbands in public. You don't correct your husband in public. You don't correct your husband in church. You don't tell him how to do it and what to do. Zip the lips. I'm just saying, there's things, and then guys, you don't embarrass your wife. You don't say things that will bring embarrassment or shame upon her. I find it in a lot of churches, in a lot of surroundings, is that there's a communication going on between a wife and another wife, or a husband and another wife, about their marriage or about their things going on in their marriage, and you'll find that it just gets out and all that stuff. That's not how you behave. Nobody ought to know anything about what's going on in your bedroom. If you've got problems in your bedroom and you need some kind of counsel, well, then you come to the appropriate one. But not just to whomever. going to whomever is not going to correct anything, and you're not doing what God asked you to do. The Father, what's the problem? You're not hearing. You want to do it your way. That's what we find in the Scripture. There's going to have to take some energy in hearing. That is, going to the house of God. And when you go to the house of God, there's going to be a place where you're going to have to respect and to reverence and represent well. Number two, I'm going to notice the effort to hear. The Bible says in verse 1, you've got to be more ready to hear. More ready to hear. In other words, tonight, you're going to have to, when you come to the house of God, you've got a desire to hear. You've got to have it in your heart to hear. The Bible says more ready to hear. It just don't say be ready to hear, but be more ready to hear. There's got to be within your heart, God, I'm coming to the house of God to hear. That's what I'm coming for. What does the word hear mean? It means tonight, it means to hear intelligently. That's what it means tonight. You ever talk to somebody and they're listening but they're not hearing? I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm not hearing nothing. Because they're not hearing intelligently. They're listening, they're hearing the words, they're listening to the words you're saying, that they're hearing the expression you're giving, that they're feeling the emotion you've got, but they've got no reasoning to do what you ask. And they don't care. It goes through one ear and out the other. But to hear, according to the Scriptures, to hear intelligently. Now the word also means, because it's a continuation of a word, it means tonight not only to hear intellectually, but it means to carefully consider. So when you come to the house of God, I'm coming to hear intellectually. And whatever's going to be said, I am going to carefully consider in the house of God. So that's how 2015 needs to be. Be more ready to hear intelligently and to take what that intelligent is and carefully consider what's being said. Then the word also means, along with that, it means to obey wisely. So to hear does not mean that you just hear Brother Larry in his syllables. Or you hear him say vows. Or he says phrases and sentences. No, to hear means I hear intellectually. I'm listening to what he's saying. I am carefully considering. And I'm going to obey wisely. Now if you do that, then you can hear. If you don't do that, then you have not heard. So the Bible's saying that when you come to the house of God, that you be more ready to hear. I mean, when I get here, I'm more ready to listen or hear intellectually, to consider carefully, and to obey wisely. Tonight, in 2015, if we can get to this place, your marriage will be better. Your finances will be better. Your physical needs will be better. This church will be better. This community and this place where we live is better. And you'll find your whole life in general will be better than it's ever been before if you and I can hear. But we've got to have a desire to do that. Be more ready. In other words, if you come to the house of God and said, listen, Brother Larry, move me if you can. Brother Larry, I got a bone to pick with you. See, when you come in like that, then you're not at all going to be more ready to hear. You're more ready to fight. Amen? Or if you come in here and you have no intentions at all to do whatever's going to be said, you're just kind of coming because you just know it's the right thing to do and you just like coming and you like being around these people, like seeing each other, and plus you just want to get away from home. I know some folks who come to church and who have nurseries just because they have a nursery. So they get a little bit of time off. There are some folks who come to church, their spouse don't come to church, so they come to church all the time because their spouse don't come to church. But do you desire to hear? Then number three, number second, I want you to know it's deciding to hear. The Bible says in verse 1, he says, and be more ready to hear, that's desire, than to give the sacrifice of fools. So you're going to have to decide to give, not the sacrifice of fools. You're going to be more ready to hear than to give that sacrifice of a fool. Tonight, coming to church and not hearing is a sacrifice of a fool. Tonight, participating in church with sin in your life is a sacrifice of a fool. Tonight, if you come to church not at all intending to hear, that's a sacrifice of a fool. You're taking out of your life to come to this church, and you're really not going to come here to hear anyway. You're making a sacrifice in your life, and it's a sacrifice of a fool. If you come to the house of God and you participate in the singing, you participate in the giving, you participate in the praying, you participate in the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, and there's sin, there's hidden sin, there's secret sin, there's sin of omission, there's sin of commission in you, there is absolutely, you know, and God knows that there's something wrong in your life and you are doing it habitually and continually and you have not and cannot and will not get that thing right with God, that is a sacrifice of fools. God said, when you come to my house, be more ready to hear than to give that sacrifice of full. So God's not interested in you coming to the house of God in sin. See, a lot of people say, well, I got sin in my life, so I'm going to run on down to the house and get that right. God says, no, you got sin in your life, you get that right, and let's run on down to the house. See, we got it backwards. You hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. Listen, man, if I go into that house, right, if I go into church, the church walls will fall. I've heard that 100 times. Man, I tell you, if I go to church, lightning, God will send lightning down and it'll strike all of us dead if I walk into that church. They got it all wrong. God ain't going to strike you dead for coming to the house of God. God would probably strike you dead not coming to the house of God. That's what you need to be worried about. So we find here that the participating in church is sin. Second, I want you to notice, for look at the Scripture says, for they consider not that they do evil. See, that's the sacrifice of souls tonight, is when you think that you know you're doing wrong, but you don't consider it to be wrong. So you come to the house of God. And let me just use an example tonight, just a small example. And, you know, let me just use this, something probably nobody ever does. Dip. I don't know if anybody dips here. Raise your hand if you dip. No, don't do that. Dip is sin. So what we do, we dip. That's what we come for. And we come here like everything's okay. It ain't okay. Come that wrong. Because you can't dip and be right with God. You can't even talk right. See, you walk in here. I'm ready to worship. You just threw your dip away. It's still stuck in your teeth. I'm ready to worship. Let's sing. Yeah, Brother Jimmy! Get a songbook. You're yelling this. Yeah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. And so, Brother Larry preaches, when you walk out, brother, that was a great message. You get in your car, you go eat your sausage. I mentioned that this morning, didn't I? You go back home. You know tonight, that's a sacrifice of fools. You're not even considered that to be evil. And yet it is. Tonight, keep thy foot. Watch your step. Keep your feet clean when you come to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Help us today, Lord. Can you imagine tonight what kind of church service we had if all of us tonight would come more ready to hear? Can you imagine the Spirit? Could you imagine the energy? Could you imagine what God could do? Could you imagine the revival that might take place? All of us would just hear more than make a sacrifice of fools. The Bible talks about sacrifices, and I'm not going to go there tonight because of the sake of time, but Psalms 50 verse 5, or Psalms 51 verse 17, talks about sacrifices that we are to have.
Romans 12:1 talks about a living sacrifice that we are to be. Philippians 4:18 talks about a sacrifice of giving. There's a sacrifice of Hebrews 13:18, sacrifice of praise. So there are sacrifices that God accepts, but not the sacrifice of fools. Number three tonight, there's the evidence of hearing. How would one know that you heard? How is it tonight that when we come to the house of God, that we came keeping our foot, we did not offer the sacrifice of fools, we were more ready to hear? What is it that will tell us, or tell God, tell those around us, that we have heard? The evidence of that. Well, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 15:8. Would you look at several scripture here tonight before we... The Bible says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And so we find if you offer a sacrifice rather than the sacrifice that God would accept, it is an abomination. Something that God hates. I want you to turn your Bible to Proverbs 1:5. Now, in verse 2 of our text, it says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, let thy words be few." Tonight, the evidence of hearing is less words before God. That's the evidence of hearing. Tonight, you say, "Well, Brother Lee, I'm not really understanding that." Well, here's what this Bible's saying. The Bible's saying that if you offer the sacrifice of fools, then it's not going to be the sacrifice of the Lord, so it's not accepted. And you're not hearing. But when you hear, there'll be less words before God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, it says very clearly concerning this thought about wise men. It says, "A wise man or woman will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So hearing will cause you to hear more, and hearing more will cause you to want more. See, tonight when you find somebody who's willing to talk all the time, find somebody who always wants to tell somebody something all the time, you find somebody who always wants to correct somebody all the time, you find somebody who always wants to get in your business all the time, them people are fools. But the people who are hearing are those who are hearing, and they're hearing more, and they're wanting more. Just tell me more. I don't want to tell you more. I want you to tell me more. That's the evidence of hearing tonight. How do I know that I'm hearing what God has to say? It's because I become a wise man, not a fool. Number two, look at Proverbs 8:33. The Bible says about one who does less words before God because they become wise. He says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." That's how you become wise tonight. Either you're a fool or you're wise. The evidence of hearing tonight is that you hear instruction and you be wise and you refuse it not. Now, if you get around somebody and they begin to talk, you begin to talk, and God has given you the ability or given you the very right or the opportunity to tell somebody some things, and they say what you're telling them are right, what you're telling them are correct and godly, and they say, "Listen, I don't want to hear that." They're a fool. But the evidence of hearing are those who hear, and they get wiser with it. They hear what you say, they intellectually listen to it, they carefully consider it, and they obey it wisely, then all of a sudden they become wiser. They don't refuse it. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, what we need is people who don't refuse hearing. And so tonight we see in the Scripture you become wise and you get wiser if you don't refuse it. You ought to thank God somebody comes to you and tells you anything. Amen? Hey, what if somebody comes to you and tells you stuff that you don't want to hear?
What if somebody comes to you and tells you some things that are just not true? Well, how do you handle all that? Here's how you handle all that. You listen to what they're saying. Let them finish. It'd be rude to interrupt them, right? Let them spill their guts. Let them give it all that they've got. Listen, man, whatever you want to tell me, you tell me. I'm all ears. Got two of them babies. Hammer down on me. Give me all you got. I want to know everything. And after you get through hearing, you might be a little wiser. Amen? The fact of the matter is most people don't get mad at you for no reason. Most people don't say things to somebody. Most people I'm talking about now. Majority of people don't say something to somebody to hurt your feelings on purpose. Right? I mean, especially among Christian people. I mean, we're not out there looking to tell somebody something so their feelings can be hurt. The fact of the matter is most people are trying to tell you something that will make you wiser if you just don't refuse it. Sometimes we need to be told straight up. You're wrong, and you know you're wrong, but we don't like to hear that. But how do I know that I'm hearing is when I refuse it not. Amen? So if you go about refusing, oh, I'm not going to listen to my husband. I'm not going to listen to my wife. Oh, brother, I ain't listening to Brother Larry either. I'm not saying anything, Brother Raymond. I ain't listening. Hey, what's this Trish says to me? And you got a serious problem. Tonight we find that in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. What's that saying? That's saying at the beginning of your conversation, if you can't shut up long enough to hear something, then friend, you're going to become a fool. But those who shut their mouth and they listen and they hear what's being said, the Bible says they become wiser at the latter end. Oh, it'll be more to hear than the offer of sacrifice of fools. The Bible says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let thy words be few. Study to show thyself to be quiet. Tonight, if you're always on the rattle, we need to get a mechanic to fix the rattle. If you always got to say something, you always got to correct, you always got to do something. I see that, I hear that. Everywhere you go, there's always the same voice. Take consideration tonight what God is saying about what you need to do. Be more ready to hear. Be one of few words. Be not rash with your mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Chapter 10, verse 19, I read it again. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what that means tonight? That means the one who says the least is the wisest. That goes contrary to everything we've ever been taught. You know what we've been taught? We've been taught when somebody does you wrong, you do them wrong. We've been taught if somebody wants to cuss you out, you cuss them out. Worse, they cuss you out. We've been taught that I'm not going to have anybody talk to me in a loud voice. Nobody's going to talk to me in an ugly tone. Nobody's going to tell me anything. I'm going to tell them because I'm in charge of me. We've been taught that. We've been told that we have every right to do whatever we have to do in order for us to get on top of the game. Many of us tonight, and many people have been taught, in order for you to get higher, you got to put somebody else down lower. That's right. Isn't that true? I got to put somebody down in order for me to be looking good. Friend, you're already worm dirt. I mean, the best you'll ever be is somebody to step on. If you have to put somebody down in order for you to get up,
The Bible says, man, that one at the end, at the very refrain of his lips, that man is wise. Can I say something to you, church? You don't have to always say something, but you always have to hear. Oh, we got to be more ready to hear and then vomit out. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Five more minutes, please bear with me. Hope you're not getting bored with this one. Proverbs 17, verse 27 says, "And he that hath knowledge spareth his words." He that hath knowledge spareth his words. "And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." And the Bible's talking about, boy, if you're going to be wise, there's going to be some knowledge about you when you spare your words. You ever notice when, and boy, this is probably a bad example, but it's probably the example that I know of that's very seen very often and been part of. It's when somebody in somewhere, they do something to you, and then you, in return, do something to them, you look like the idiot. And the one who started the mess don't look like nothing. You ever notice that? Football games is bad about that. Somebody do something wrong, the other guy come out and punch him, he get a ticket, and he'd get penalized and he'd get kicked out of the game. Well, how about that guy who hit me? I saw you. How about what they said to me and I in return said something to them? Don't matter. You're the one who looks like a fool. It happens all the time. You sit with husbands and wives. It don't matter what she said in the house, but when they got out of the house, it's what he said to her. Boy, he looked like a real abuser. You know why? Because he don't spare his words. That's why. We've got to be more ready to hear. I want to say, look at chapter 29 and verse 20. It says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words?" Well, a man tells you, "Oh yeah, I can do that." The majority of the time, they can't do that. Are you talking to somebody? "Oh yeah, yeah, I'll be there." 99% of the time, they're not there. Because they're real hasty with their words. "Oh yeah, who wants to go? I go, I go." Where are we going? Right? Yeah. "Who said that? I said that. What'd I say?" Hasty. See a girl? She might be looking all like that. You see a guy? He looks like a rock of Gibraltar. He comes by and says, "Hey, will you go out with me?" The girl says, "Hey, will you go out with me?" He says, "Oh man, would I go out with you?" You go out with that, it's the worst nightmare that you ever present yourself. It was the most horrible night at all. Because you're just hasty. I mean, "Will you marry me?" "Oh yeah, I'll marry you. I just want to get married." You get married, you get a divorce. Because, buddy, it was the worst thing you've ever done. You got hasty. I'm just saying, hasty words. But if we'd be more ready to hear, we won't offer that sacrifice of fools. We find in chapter 17, verse 28 of Proverbs, we find another scripture says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Even a fool, when he don't say nothing, looks wise. Ain't that something tonight? Be more ready to hear. That's less talking. But then there's the opposing of that. There's the opposing to much talking. Two more scripture and we'll close. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. God says to do, not be hasty with your mouth, to speak few words. But what happens if we speak much words? Well, Proverbs 29, verse 11 kind of gives us a thought there. It says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, and a wise man keepeth it until afterwards." You ever been talking to somebody and they just let you have it? And you say to them, "Is there anything else?" "Yeah." Boy, they'd go at it again. Anything else? Oh, yeah, I got one more thing. And boy, they just let you have it. How many, they're spilling their guts. How many, they are throwing it at you 1,000 miles an hour. You know what the Bible says that person is? A fool. A wise man holdeth back. He's hearing. Or afterwards. Yeah. So that's what I want everybody in this room to be. I don't want you to be fools. I want you to be wise. But you got to hear. It's got to be a desire. It's got to be a decision. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14. We'll close with this. The Bible says, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? You know why? Because he's full of words. Listen, there's no communication. There's no resolve. There's no reconciliation with somebody who's a fool. And all they do is they're full of words. That's all. You ever had somebody tell you, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and they do it again? They're full. They're just full of words. You got somebody tell you they love you? And they do things that hate, that make that would do thank you that they hate you? They're just full of words. You know what's wrong with them? They're not hearing. You know what we got to do in 2015, church? We've got to be ready. To do what, Brother Larry? To hear. God help us to hear. I believe it'll help us as a church. It'll help us as a family. It'll help us at work. To hear. Try that this week. Talk less and hear more. They say this. You got two ears and one mouth. Hear double than what you say. Amen. If you got a good mind and you can do some adding, count how many words you say, and make sure that you listen to double that. And you'll find your life being a whole lot better than what it is now. Help us today, Lord. To know that when we come into the house of God, to keep thy foot. To be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice to fools. We know that. We know not that it's sin or that it's evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let thy words be few. Help us, Lord. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed.